This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
You know, if you were born in the 90s on up, you've probably never known a world without cell phones. But when Joy and I started dating, this was before the cell phones. It's 1981. This is before the cell phone era. And so many of you who remember those days before cell phones remember how expensive long-distance phone calls could be. And you could run up some serious bills long distance. And Joy was living in Miami. I was in Houston, actually in Clear Lake City. And so we had just started dating. And so we developed a code which enabled us to connect. I would call her house, let it ring one time, then hang up. And then she would call me back and let it ring one time. And, you know, phones used to ring. Remember that? They used to. And so it was basically saying, hey, I'm thinking about you. Hey, I love you. That was our love you call. And yeah, I know. But it was a way of connecting. And my point is, outside this great melodrama here with how wonderful it was, but we always looking for ways to connect. And that was the least expensive way to connect. There was an Irishman who walks into a bar in Houston. He sits down, he says, give me three beers. And the bartender said, you want them right now? He said, yeah, right now. He said, you want to space them out? They'll get cold. He said, no, right now. So he put three beers in front of him. He drank the three beers and left. Well, he started coming in on a regular basis. Finally, after a couple of weeks, the bartender said, hey, I got to ask you, why in the world do you get three beers? I mean, there's no good reasoning behind that. And the guy said, he said, it's for my brothers. He said, I have one in Dublin and I have one in Rome. He said, we're far apart. But he said, whenever we drink a beer, we drink one for us and one for the two brothers. He said, it helps us stay connected. And the bartender thought, oh, what a great idea. So he became known as, you know, three beers. He'd walk in, he'd flash the three sign, bartender would put three down. One day he walked in and he didn't flash the three sign. He sat down at the bar and he said, two. And the bartender poured the beers, he put two in front of him and he looked a little concerned and the whole bar went quiet. And they thought, surely he's lost a brother. And the bartender said to him, man, I just got to tell you, I am sorry for your loss. And the guy said, my loss. He said, yeah, the two beers. He said, oh. He said, no. He said, my wife had to join the Baptist church. I had to quit drinking. He said, but it hasn't affected me, brother. So. Everybody's looking for a way to connect. Even if you're Baptist. Everyone say, God bless the Baptist. All right. This morning, as we're doing a little mini-series called Better Connections, I want to talk about some things that actually, things that cause us to disconnect. And I want to apply this to marriage because it is something. Joy and I, for many of you who don't know, Joy and I had a very difficult marriage. We've been married for 35 years. Our first few years were tough. And we really violated, like, all the rules of marriage that you could violate. And so when I'm talking about these disconnectors this morning, I don't want you to think, well, you know what? We'll never get there. Listen. With God, there's always hope. And Joy and I have hope for any marriage. We believe if you have two people, it takes two, if you have two people that really have a heart for God and they want to make it work, I believe any marriage can be saved. And I believe any marriage can get better. So as I'm talking about this, the first crowd got real quiet. You don't have to get quiet. Because we're going to talk about the disconnectors and the things that help us connect. But listen, I talked to a couple this morning, and they were talking about our pre-marriage class. And they said it was so good for us to go through a pre-marriage class because it kind of opened our eyes to what marriage was going to be. Oftentimes people, when they start into marriage, they think it's just all going to be wonderful. And it's just going to be glorious. And it's just like this awesome thing. And then after they're married for a while, they're like, what? What are you doing with the toilet paper? Why is the toilet paper that way? Why doesn't it roll this way instead of the other way? And they're like, oh, really? Really? How about you and the toothpaste, huh? How about the toothpaste? Who squeezes the toothpaste from the middle? You always squeeze it from... And couples, listen, they found out that couples don't, the major differences, those are minor, major differences don't split couples apart. It's how they resolve them. So here's some things. Here's some disconnectors. And if you're doing this, if you're keeping score at home and you go up 4-for-4, you can change. Here's the first one. It's a disconnect. It's criticism. Criticism, just, I know everyone says, well, everyone needs constructive criticism. I don't even like constructive criticism. You know, but a lot of times, or people just want to share stuff with you. But listen, criticism, especially in a home, can just, it can be tough, because what it does is it attacks the person instead of the behavior. So often criticism is, you forgot to take the garbage out. The reason you forgot to take the garbage out is because you just don't care. You're just not a caring person. Look straight ahead, guys. Just look straight ahead. You're going to be all right. Just... I've already told you, I've already violated all of these. And here's what you find. Instead of attacking the person, talk about the behavior. But here's another thing, and this will help you. Just simply begin to express appreciation. Sometimes you forget to say thank you for all the good things they do, and you get focused on all the negative things they do. Second one they say is a real big disconnect is the fixer-upper. I'm going to fix you. I'm going to fix this situation. I'm going to fix you. And, you know, the challenge is, man, it's fixer-uppers work great for houses, not spouses. You can fix up a, you can, boy, you can try to fix your spouse and you void the warranty, man. It will mess you up. And so you say, well, they need fixing. What am I going to do about this? Learn to do what Joy did. Joy didn't pray a lot until she met me. I launched her prayer life. I told her, that woman learned to pray being married to me, because she would try to tell me things. She was trying to fix me. I wasn't listening. I wasn't having any of it. And so she finally learned this. She would pray. And she'd say, Lord, would you help him with this? Would you talk to him about this? And it happened so many times. But I'd be praying. I'd just feel impressed. I'd come to her. I'd go, you know, I just feel impressed that I need to stop doing this and start doing this. Now, listen. Here's what Joy did. This was smart. She didn't look at me and go, I've been praying about that. I'm glad you finally got it. Don't do that. Just fake it till you make it. When they do that, go, oh, well, praise God. That's really good. And then when they walk out of the room, they go, yes, yes, yes. Leave the changing to God. Don't try to change them down. Here, this third one is a toughie. Because it's one, they say, it's probably one of the most toxic things you can have in a relationship. It's called contempt. Contempt. There's a psychologist, his name is John Gottman, and he said he can predict couples' success rate. He said, and this is the first one he looks for. Contempt is when the eyes roll or there's name calling. Just smile. Keep smiling, people. Just look straight ahead. And what they found is it's hard to resolve problems when you're showing disgust towards someone. And so you're thinking, well, oh, gosh, Alan, I've been doing this. No, you can stop. This is a learning process. You can stop. And you can stop. You can just simply, when you're tempted to just say something, it's a real put down. Just, boy, if you can stop. I was bad at name calling. And I really was. And I'm not proud of this. But I was horrible with names, and they hurt Joy. They hurt her a lot. And so I learned just to stop calling names. I pointed my finger at her one time. You heard me tell this. I pointed my, we were in an argument, and I put my finger right in her face. She reached up and snatched my finger with one hand and started bending it backwards. I held out for a while. And then manliness went right out the way. I'm like, oh, please, oh, please. So guess what I learned? Yeah, I didn't want to draw back a nub anymore, so I just didn't. It's a learning process. But contempt is something you can learn. Just don't do that. And you can learn to just express, again, appreciation, thanks, saying something good. It may come out sounding strange when you first say it, but it's going to have a lot better long-term effect. Here's the last one. When it's a me versus we, that's a disconnect. Someone comes home and says, hey, I got a promotion. And you go, great, you should have gotten a promotion a long time ago. You know, that company, how about this? How about excellent? How about we celebrate that? How about learning to celebrate? What that does is show support. So I have dreams and goals. One of the things I dramatically appreciate about Joy is over the years, she has been right with me in everything we've done. And here's the key. People say, what is the key? Your marriage went from really bad to good. How did you get there? I'm going to tell you how we got there. Both of us stayed connected to God. And I make no bones about that. Both of us stay connected to God. And as we learn to grow and as we stay connected to Him, it helped us connect with one another. That's why I have great hope for church. If you're here today and you're hearing this, you can change. The Lord can help you. You can learn. You can grow out of these things. And it can make a difference. It made a difference in our marriage. The Bible says in Job 22, it says, acquaint yourself with Him, God, and be at peace, and thereby good will come to you. In other words, what's it saying? Acquaint. You're connected to God. People say, how do I even connect to God? Well, I tell you this, most of us are very acquainted with our problems. A number of years ago, when Joy and I first moved to Texas, she was from Florida, I'm from North Carolina. The only Mexican food we'd ever had was Taco Bell. I'm serious, that was it. I came to Texas, the first place someone took me for Mexican food was Poncho's. I thought, man, all you've had is Taco Bell, Poncho's, raise that flag, get me some sopapillas. I'm like, man, this is killing it. And then somebody took us to Papacito's. And I'm like, oh yeah. That's like going from a car with no air conditioning to a nice one with an SUV with air conditioning. I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. So Jordan and I had a date one night. Someone's watching Matthew. And as we got in the date, we had just gotten a bad report about Matthew. And as we got in the car to drive all the way down to where the Airtex, that Papacito's down there, we're driving. And we're talking the problem. And we got inside and we started talking the problem. And we sat through the chips and salsa. We're talking the problem. Through the chili rellenos. We're talking the problem. Through the enchiladas. We're talking the problem. It was a horrible meal. Because we talked the problem so much that the problem overwhelmed the meal. You know, for that, we should have just paid a lot less money to go to Poncho's. What am I saying is, the more you talk the problem, the more real it becomes. How can God become more real to you? Do you talk about Him? And you say, well, I don't know how you talk about God. I got a great way. Just say, Lord, I want to thank You. I appreciate what You've done. Thank You. By giving thanks, by giving praise, is a way you can begin to connect with God. We were talking the other day. We got a picture of my little grandson, Grant. And many of you know the story about how we almost lost him at the beginning. He had a horrible thing. Got a picture of his 6-month picture. And it's just this cute picture. And both of us saw it. And both of us began to say, oh, God, thank You for how You saved that child. Thank You for how You did. What are you doing? We're connecting to Him. So when you say thank you, when you give praise, you just connect. You don't have to do it around other people. You're just driving in the car going, thank You, Lord. Thank You. Every time I drive into my house, a lot of times I say, thank You that there's air conditioning in my house and it works. I want to thank You, Lord, for that. But there's another way too, is His Word. And if you connect over His Word, it's like a letter. Years ago, people wrote letters. It's like pen and a paper and stuff and wrote. And emails are great. Letters are awesome. Because letters, you can sense the person. Joy used to send me letters sometimes and she would spray it with perfume. You can't spray an email with perfume. You can, but you'd smell that and you're like, oh, that smell, and you'd read it. How many of you know people kept letters, reread letters? God's Word is a love letter to us. And it's not just a dead book, it's a love letter, and it gives us God's thoughts. And when we read that, what do? We're making that connection with Him. In the Bible, there's a great story about a man who had an opportunity to disconnect from the Lord, but he didn't do it. His name is Peter. I like Peter. Peter, he's kind of a bold guy. He talks a lot before he thinks. But the Lord used him and changed him. Here's a chance he had to disconnect. Let's read this story in Luke. It says, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. He, Jesus, stood by the lake of Gennesaret, saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and they were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night. We've worked all night. We've caught nothing. Nevertheless, it's Your word. I'll let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which were taken. So also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, that's Peter, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let me give you some things this morning about how Peter could have disconnected. One, he could have disconnected with Jesus when Jesus asked him to launch out. I mean, not to launch out, but to simply hold the boat while he taught. had multitudes of people, thousands of people around, didn't have microphones, sitting in a lake, you're speaking from a lake that the sound bounces. It's a great place to teach. But Peter's tired, hungry, probably just frustrated because he hadn't caught anything. He made no money that night. And we're not talking about just throwing out a fishing line. We're talking about throwing out nets and pulling nets in all night, nothing. So, you know, he's cleaning his nets. He's like, man, I'm ready to go to the house. And Jesus asked him to do something that was not convenient. And Peter could have said, you know, Lord, appreciate that, but I'm tired, man, some other time. But he didn't disconnect there, and he got in the boat, and he held Jesus in the boat. But when he did that, you're thinking, that's not a glamorous job. I mean, that doesn't really utilize all Peter's skills as a fisherman. You're just holding the boat. But Peter's holding the boat. It wasn't glamorous. It wasn't anything that's really significant. It may have seemed mundane. I bet Jesus spoke longer than 30 minutes. He was known for speaking. Sometimes he would go for days. You guys get off easy. Of course, I'm not as good as he is. So, but anyway, he spoke a long time. Peter's holding the boat. Now, you know, that's not one of those jobs where you just, there's me holding the boat. Selfie. Holding the boat. It's like, wow, tough job, Peter, but he could have, you know, Jesus, I'll get somebody else to hold the boat. He didn't do that. He did not disconnect over something that wasn't glamorous. Could have disconnected when Jesus asked him to launch out for a catch. You think, well, what's wrong with that? Well, preachers don't know much about fishing. You don't catch fish on Lake Gennesaret in the daytime. You do it at night because the lake is clear and the fish will see you coming. And the fish weren't running anyway. And what do preachers know about fishing? And so Peter could have said, Lord, bless your heart. This is not the time to fish. And he told him, he said, Lord, we worked all night. He said, and we didn't catch anything. He said, but at your word, I'm going to let down the net. You know, Jesus said, let down the nets. Peter said, I'm going to let down the net. So basically what Peter was saying was, I don't believe this, but I'm going to do it just because you said it. But when they did, they caught so many fish, you're starting to sink two fishing boats. That's a catch. And man, Peter is amazed. And now it's Peter's turn to disconnect from Jesus. And he looked at him and said, you need to depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man. Peter was so aware of his sins and his faults and his failures, he thought certainly no religious person would ever want to be around him because the religion of that day was harsh and it was judgmental. And so surely this holy man would not want to be around him. But Jesus didn't disconnect from Peter. In fact, he was interested more than Peter's success. He was interested in giving Peter something to do that had eternal value. And Jesus saw something in Peter that Peter didn't see in himself. So as you're thinking, what are disconnectors from the Lord? One of the biggest disconnectors I think you'll find is sometimes people think, well, okay, I came to the Lord and that was easy. But spiritual growth is not easy. Don't disconnect because the Lord asks you to do something that's not convenient. You know, it's not as convenient to come to church this morning. You came, good for you. It's not easy to get the kids. Oh, my goodness, I've gotten kids ready for church. There are demons that hide socks overnight. And certainly somebody breaks out with something, and there's major fights, and there's blowout diapers, and I've done that. And Ben, I am so glad I'm not there anymore, but I've done that. But I understand getting to church. It's not easy. It's not convenient. But we need, in life, listen, we tell people when they get married, it's work. We married two couples. I had two back-to-back weddings on Friday. I told you I do them fast, man. We do express weddings. We will run you in and out. We're done, baby. If you're living together, you want God's blessing, come on in. We'll get you married. Painless. But I tell them, work starts now. The work begins. Getting married's easy. Staying married, have a good marriage, that's tough. Having kids, well, that's not easy, but for the ladies. But raising good kids, that's tough. But we're not looking for easy, we're looking for effective. So don't spend your life looking for everything that's easy. Reading your Bible, not easy. Praying, not easy. Watching television's easy. But we're not looking for easy. Listen, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. So we ought just to embrace the challenge and say, thank God I'm growing spiritually. And as I do, it makes a difference in everything in my life. So we're not looking for easy. And listen, if you're serving, don't disconnect because sometimes serving God is not glamorous. So somebody say, well, you know, I have degrees. I have advanced degrees. And you've asked me to stand at the door and greet people? Yes. Yes, we have. That's not utilizing all my skills. Yeah, we know that. But that's okay. Because if you're doing it for Him, it doesn't have to be glamorous, it's profitable. If you're doing it for Him, it doesn't have to be glamorous, it's honorable. If you're doing it for Him, it has eternal value. Here's a great verse here. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Work and labor. Nothing glamorous about that. But it said, but knowing that whatever we do for the Lord is not in vain. When we came out of Bible school, Joy and I were at Lakewood, Joy started a special needs class. And it was a class that they didn't have any special needs. We had no website. We had no bulletin. So they gave Joy a room, said, okay, here's your room. They didn't announce it. So Joy did what she'd learned to do with me. She started praying. I was working with another department. I was working with the youth. She came to me one day. She said, I need your help in there next week. I said, what? She said, I got 6 kids that walked in. They found it. 6 kids walked in. The next week, there were 8. And my job was working for Joy. Story of my life. And here was my job. I wasn't teaching the class. She was teaching the class. My job was holding this little child who had seizures. And I would hold him, and sometimes he would seize. He had a helmet, and he would pitch, and I had to hold him upright so he didn't hurt himself. That was my job. Nothing glamorous about that. But if I'm doing it for the Lord, it doesn't have to be glamorous. It's profitable. And so as we did it, here's the good news. Joy started teaching this class, and then she started talking to the parents. She began to tell the parents, you know, God can heal your child. He was having seizures and seizures and seizures. They always caused damage. While he was in that class, he stopped having seizures. Before it was all over, he had no more seizures. He's back in school. He's bright. God healed that boy. He was just completely healed. Wonderful. Say, Alan, you had nothing to do with that. Yes, I did. I held him. And you say, well, Peter didn't have anything to do. Yeah, Peter held the boat. Listen, holding the boat is honorable. If it's helping Jesus help people, it's a good thing to do. So, if we ask you to do something, no, go, that's beneath me. It's not beneath you if you're doing it for Him. It's not what we do, it's who we do it for that makes all the difference in the world. So don't disconnect because it's not glamorous. Don't disconnect because it's not logical. Oftentimes we think, Lord, that doesn't make sense. You know, Lord, you asked me to forgive. You don't know what they've done to me. That doesn't make sense. Romans 12:2 said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, there's a flow in this world. The flow says, don't you dare forgive them. You stand up for what you're right. You don't take that. And there's a flow of God that says, Lord, nevertheless, we say like Peter said, Lord, I don't feel like forgiving them. It doesn't make any sense, but at your word, I will. Lord, at your word, I will love. Joy had the love scripture pasted all over our house. I would open cabinets and there was love. It was 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient, love is kind. I opened the bathroom, get to sink. There's the verse. Love is patient, love is kind. I'd go into the closet and open the closet. There's the verse. There's love is patient, love is kind. I said, what is that there for? She said, I need that. I said, for what? She said, for you. She'd look at me, she'd go in there, she'd read the verse. Love is patient, love is kind. What is she doing? Even though conventional wisdom said, leave him, he's not worth staying with. God said, stay. And she did. And if she hadn't, she wouldn't have seen the blessings that come from having a good, good marriage. Goes against the flow. And then here's the last one. If we're going to stay connected to the Lord, you have to accept his valuation of you. See, we're so caught up in our sins, our faults, our failures, our shortcomings that oftentimes we're in effect telling the Lord, Lord, you don't want anything to do with me. You don't want anything to do with me. And you don't realize is that no, His grace has already made the decision. His love has already made the decision. He's already determined your value. His grace is bigger than your faults. His grace is bigger than your efforts. His grace is bigger. That's brought you value in love. I've done this analogy before. This is a $20 bill. It's a real one. Anybody want it? Yeah. I saw women's hands go up first. They're like, what if I did this? It's all wrinkly. Anybody want it still?
Yep.
Now I stepped on it. Anybody want it?
Yep.
You know why? It's wrinkly. It's now dirty. I stepped on it. But the valuation hasn't changed. So we come to God, and a lot of times we look like this. We say, God, you don't want this. He goes, yeah, I want that. I know it's worth. 1989, Joy and I went to start a church in my hometown. And it didn't make it. Failed. I felt like I was washed up. I was such a failure. And for months, I was really in a depressed state. We're sitting there one night in our little bitty kitchen, and the phone rang. The phone was on the wall. Remember phones on the wall? Okay. Our kitchen was so small, Joy didn't have to get up. She reached over, she grabbed the phone. She said, hello. The voice on the other line said, Joy, this is Pastor Osteen. She looked at me, she said, it's Pastor Osteen. I said, no, it's not. She said, he didn't call me when I was there all the time. He didn't call. She said, it's Pastor Osteen. She handed me the phone, and the voice on the other line, that was an unmistakable voice. He said, Alan, this is Pastor Osteen. I said, Alan, he said, how's the church going? I said, Pastor, we don't have a church. We shut it down. I'll never forget what he said. He said, Alan, he said, you're not a failure, you're a learner. Come on back. And that planted the seed to get me back to Texas. And if it wasn't for that phone call, I may not be here now. Because one man saw in me that I wasn't a failure, I was a learner. And even though I might have looked like this wrinkled, crumpled, dirty $20 bill, he recognized the value that was in me. When I stepped back into Lakewood Church, he said, we got a class for you. We want you to teach. And he believed in me. I've heard someone say, it's not the people you believe in that make the biggest difference in your life. It's the ones that believe in you. And with God, you may come to him and go, God, I'm not doing too good. You don't want anything to do with me. God, I look like this or worse. And he's like, oh, no, no. I don't see you for what you are. I see you for what you can become. Peter held the boat, and that was his first job. Before it was all over, in the book of Acts, the Bible tells us that Peter was walking through the streets of Jerusalem. And people, they would bring people into the streets because when his shadow fell on them, they would get healed. You've got to start somewhere. It's a learning process. Aren't you glad we're all learners and not failures? Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? He came this morning and said, Alan, when it comes to God, I know I'm way away from him. I'm apart from him. I need a relationship with him. I don't have one. Or maybe you're like I was. At one time, you had a relationship with God and you got away. We're going to say a very simple but powerful prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come out of your seat. But we're going to say a prayer. Right where you are, you can make a connection with God that will last for eternity. One of the greatest things you'll ever do. Probably the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around, but I am going to ask you a question. If that's you that I'm talking to and you say, Alan, I want a relationship with God or I know I'm away from him and I want to come back, would you pray for me? I want you to shoot your arm up right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Keep on just for a little bit. Hands have gone up all over the place. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. All the way from the back to the front. Anybody else? Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you're sitting there kicking yourself on the inside because you feel like you missed your opportunity, you did not. God sees hands, and that's important, but he also sees your heart. We're going to pray this. You pray it with us right out loud. Mean it. So you can hear your, say it so you can hear yourself pray this prayer. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. Just remain that way just for a moment. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer today. Thank you for those who've stepped out of darkness into your marvelous light and for those who have reconnected. Father, thank you. That's a powerful, eternal connection that'll make a difference for eternity, and it makes a difference starting right now. Father, for all of us, thank you that we're learning. Thank you that we're growing. We're not failures. We're learners, and we can grow closer to you. Help marriages today, Father. Help individuals that comprise the marriages draw close to you and then draw close to one another. We'll give you all the praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.